Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live at Little Woodrow's in the Heights. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord with you. You know what that music means. Time to make some picks. Before we get to that, very quickly, Rich, and the music will keep us on point so we don't get too sidetracked, but I just wanted to pay off on this. Did you see this story about Cam Newton and the Panthers owner acknowledging that Cam Newton might sit out 2019?
I did, and I'll just throw this in there. That's the same owner who gave Eric Reed a job. I'm just saying.
It is, yeah.
I'm just saying. Eric Reed's got a good friend who's an available quarterback.
I see what you're saying. For those who don't know, Rich is saying Colin Kaepernick.
Look, Jerry Richardson would never have gone within a mile of Colin Kaepernick, but David Tepper is a different dude.
He is. Kaepernick's been out of the game for the better part of two years now.
It's definitely a long shot.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
He's the one. And look, Eric Reed was blackballed also.
Eric Reed would tell you that he is drug test blackballed still.
Well, that too. Yes. But that's the franchise that
gave
him.
Not drug test, PED test.
PED
sorry.
Test. Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. But Cam Newton, I guess if you're looking for a tie to the Texans in this Cam Newton story, in a 2019 schedule that has an absolutely brutal slate of starting quarterbacks that the Texans are going to be facing.
It does.
I mean, it's like this year's schedule is like the Sun Belt Conference, and next year's schedule is like the SEC.
Yeah.
It's that drastic a difference. The quarterbacks they play next year, Phillip Rivers is a really good quarterback. He doesn't even crack the top five of the hardest games that they're going to play. Neither does Cam Newton. Cam Newton might not be in the upper half of quarterbacks they play next year. This would at least you know if Cam Newton's not playing, in that one game you're going to be facing a quarterback who's significantly less talented than the starter you were expecting to go against.
Yeah, as we've noted, the Texans on their way to 11-5.
Yeah.
Really beat one legitimate franchise quarterback. That was Andrew Luck in the first meeting in Indianapolis, and that was when the Colts were in the process of getting out to a 1-5 start.
And Andrew Luck still hadn't really kind of unleashed things the way
exactly.
he did over that 8-game stretch where he had 3 touchdown passes in every game. So now, he was great that day. He had 464 yards. I guess I shouldn't say he hadn't yet unleashed it. I feel like that was the first really good game that he had was against the Texans that day. Put up 34 points.
Fortunately,
the Texans scored 37. That's right. Yeah, they went tempo in the second half, and they were able to climb back into that thing and take it to overtime. All right. We can go off on these little tangents about Cam Newton because there's only two games to dig into this weekend.
Right.
So let's start the digging in, Rich. Let's go chronologically here. The first game, oddly enough, is the Saints hosting the Rams at the Superdome. A 2:05 start here in Houston. If you're looking to plan your Sunday afternoon and evening, the late game is going to be the Chiefs and the Patriots getting started sometime in the back end of the 5 o'clock hour here locally. I'll let you go first. The Chiefs are a three-point favorite against the New England Patriots on Sunday. What say you?
I took the Saints to lose a home game last week. Didn't work out too well for me. So
You took the Saints? You mean the Chiefs?
No, you said Rams Saints.
Did I say? Oh my God, we did this yesterday.
We did this yesterday with
Chad
Milman.
Now I'm convinced
you're messing with me.
No, Rich. This is Oh my God. No, I blame Chad Milman. He's the one that has us. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Rams Saints. We need to go back and play this again. I think I went Rams and the Saints in the Superdome. Chiefs are a 3-point favorite. Who do you got? I think we go back and listen to it. That's what I just did.
You're messing with me.
No, I'm not, Rich. I swear I'm not messing with you. But now I know that it does mess with you a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right. Rams, Saints. Now, conveniently, the Saints are a 3-point favorite.
Yes.
Okay.
I took them to lose a home game last week.
You had the Eagles last week, huh?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hesitate to take another team in a situation like this in New Orleans. However, you look back at that first meeting between these two teams.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of Marcus Peters. The Saints did, in part because Aqib Talib was not available that day.
Yeah, Michael Thomas had 12 catches in the first game.
Yeah.
between these two teams?
You know, I like the fact that Aqib Talib is back in terms of what it means for the Rams. The Rams' defense played a lot better against the Cowboys than I anticipated they would. And on the other side of the football, this C.J. Anderson factor for their offense has become, you know, a real force to be dealt with, right? I like the joke he made this week. Did you hear they asked him about his weight? He's a little chunky.
Yeah, I think the C stands for chunky.
Says he's 5'10", about his words, about 235. Blamed it on his pregnant wife.
Oh, yeah.
Sympathy weight.
Bonding. Yeah, yeah. She's right. Eating, you know, ice cream with pickles on it. Fried pickles. You got to eat those things.
All that said, I can't do it again. Saints at home, they're going to win this game. Michael Thomas is really one of the really most dominant forces in this league right now. The way he set the tempo last week, I kind of expect him to do the same again this week.
Even though Talib is playing in this game this time.
Yeah,
around.
Yeah. Like I said, even with all those reasons, I think that you've got to like the Rams in this game. I can't go against the Saints again at home.
I think what's interesting about both of these games is that they both played each other in both these teams. These matchups are matchups we saw in the regular season.
They're all rematches of very high-scoring games.
Very high-scoring games. In both of these games, the winner of the games knocked off an undefeated team to win that game. The Rams came into their game against the Saints 8-0. The Chiefs came into their game against the Patriots 5-0. Both teams came in, the Rams and the Chiefs, with all kinds of fanfare in those games, and they got handed the L. That game between the Rams and the Saints ultimately decided the venue this game was going to be played in, being played in the Superdome. I'm with you. The Rams were actually favored in that first matchup between these two teams this year, believe it or not, in Week 8. The Rams were favored by 2 points when they faced off earlier in the season.
I'd like to know the last couple of years, how many times they've been a home dog.
Who, the Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not many times. They don't lose very often at home. They're 9-0 straight up in their last 9 home games against teams with winning records. So even if they were dogs in some of those games, they won those games. They're 9-0 in their last 9 home games against good teams is what that's saying. Sean Payton 7-0 straight up at home in the playoffs since becoming coach of the Saints back in 2006. I think both these teams, Rich, are going to try to run the football. As much as you think about Drew Brees being a Hall of Fame quarterback, as gaudy as Jared Goff's stats were this season, they were less gaudy the second half of the year. I think losing Cooper Kupp was a big part of that. He was a really underrated part of this offense. And we saw them lean heavily on the running game last week, almost out of character leaning on it so heavily against the Cowboys last week. I think that's what both teams are going to try to do. I think the team that controls the tempo and the pace of this game is going to be the one that wins. I think ultimately the team is going to have the easier time doing that, ironically, because the Rams ran the ball so well last week. I think the Saints at home and against a Rams defense that, even though they shut down Ezekiel Elliott last week, this is a different animal, this Saints offense, with Kamara and with Ingram and with Breeze pulling the trigger. I think the Saints are going to be able to run the football. That's why I like the Saints, and I like the under in this game on 57. I think the game is not going to be played at nearly the pace that the first game was between these two.
The Eagles had such an opportunity last week. The Saints actually, I'm going to use the word jittery. They came out really jittery.
Threw a pick on the first play.
Then the second possession, Breeze fumbles the ball, and if not for a bad decision by Graham to try to run with it, the Eagles take that ball away. I mean, they were, and what happened was, because of that jitteriness, the crowd was as quiet as it's ever been in New Orleans, and that's what you have to do. You have to strike early and take that crowd out of the game. I don't see that opportunity coming about for their opponent again this week.
Yeah, and even when you did last week, it still felt there was an inevitability of the Saints coming back in that game once they ran the fake punt and they were able to get on the scoreboard. As much as the Eagles dominated the early part of the game, once the Saints got on the board, you go, okay, they're within a score now. You know,
the fake punt changed everything.
It changed everything. All right, so you and I are both Saints. You're gonna have. I'm assuming you have them covering the spread too. The spread's only 3, so
yeah.
Saints -3, and I'm gonna take the under in that one as well. Chiefs Patriots, and I promise I'm gonna lead you into talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots here, not the Rams and the Saints.
This is the AFC Championship game
starting at 5:40 local time on Sunday. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites over the Patriots. Total on this game's 55.5. Who do you like in this game, Rich?
I like the home team again in this game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you had a lean to the Patriots, I felt like, earlier this week.
I did, yeah.
You changed your mind.
Yeah, look, it's taking...
You're sitting in the bathtub thinking about,
I mean, there are
who I'm going to take in this game.
There are certain things that are just, I don't know what the right word is, but you can bank on them. the Saints winning at the Superdome,
yeah,
and Belichick beating Andy Reid.
Okay.
But I'm kind of going...
It's an interesting sales pitch for your pick.
I'm kind of going the other way on this one. I think home field advantage is the deciding factor in this game. And, you know, when I pick the Chiefs to win this game, of course I'm picking them knowing that the Patriots were a horrible road team this year. They lost five games on the road this year, some of them to bad teams.
No, Rich. They were 3-5 on the road, and all five losses were to teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
Jags, Lions, Titans
yeah.
Dolphins, and Steelers.
Yeah.
And the average margin in those games was 12 points. They lost by an average of double digits to bad teams
right.
on the road.
Throw in something we mentioned earlier this week. The last three times the Patriots have had to go on the road for the AFC Championship game, they've lost the AFC Championship game.
Well, last time, nobody's won on the road in the AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game in 5 years.
Yeah. Home field advantage, number one reason I like the Chiefs.
I do too. Pat's 3-5 record, we just outlined that. The mitigating factor for me, the part where I pause is, well, one, you and I are making the same picks this week like we did last week, and we got our heads handed to us. I almost feel like I should take the Patriots just for our own sanity at this point, because then one of us will get something right.
Well, the reason you take the Patriots in this game is because it's Brady going up against a defense that for 16 games in the regular season was actually pretty bad.
Statistically, they were, but they do a few things well. They get after the quarterback.
Right, which he negates with the short passing game to James White.
That's fine. They turn teams over. I mean, Brady, I get it. They try to negate it. And I think it's a little easier to negate at home than it is on the road because that environment is not an easy play. By definition, it messes with what you do offensively. You got to go to silent counts.
Sure.
And the timing of the offense isn't always there. So it's not as easy as just, hey, let's just do the short. If it was just as easy as, hey, let's just use the short passing game, then there'd never be any sacks in an NFL game. It's not as easy as that. And the Patriots kind of had to empty the chamber doing those things last week. There's plenty on film for the Chiefs to see.
But you got
from how they beat the Chargers last week.
And again, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But you got James White coming out of the backfield. You also have Sony Michel running the football as well as any running back in the postseason.
They're very balanced. I get it. All four of these teams are good. So they all do things very, very well, especially offensively. They're the four best offenses in football.
Right.
So it's hard to find holes with any of these teams offensively. Brady is an underdog. In his last seven times as an underdog, 6-1 straight up, 6-1 against the spread. That's what causes me to hesitate a little bit. But at the end of the day, as does Reed versus Belichick, as you just outlined. So there is a factor of, man, I can't believe I'm betting against Brady and Belichick. But it's on the road in one of the best home field advantages in football. And at the end of the day, mojo and karma is not going to make New England's offense any speedier to keep up with Tyreek Hill, to keep up with Sammy Watkins, to keep up with, for their linebackers to keep up with, and safeties to keep up with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, the way you have to defend the entire field for the entire play, regardless of whether he's in the pocket or rolling out, is just something that is demoralizing to deal with. I'm taking the Chiefs in that one.
Pats don't have a great pass rush. Mahomes has enough mobility and ingenuity to avoid having problems with their pass rush, I believe.
I'm taking the under as well, and that's a temperature play by me. I'm taking the under. I know it's going to be a little warmer than we thought, but this game's going to wind up being played at night.
Right.
So if it's going to be 27 or whatever at kickoff, then if it's going to be 27 at kickoff, it's going to be 7, you know, by the time the end of the first quarter rolls around. In the history of playoff football, there have been 11 games played in single-digit weather. There have not been more than 30 points scored by either team in any of those games.
Interesting.
So I think cold weather is going to factor in.
So we're both taking the home teams.
We're both taking the home teams. Yeah, I hate that. I hate that you and I, we did this last week.
Well, we didn't collaborate beforehand, so this was, you know, just happened organically.
Yeah, let's face it. We're backing a trend that's held up since the Harbaugh brothers both went on the road and won conference title games, both of them back in the 2012 season. That was the last time that road teams were victorious in the conference title game. Jim Harbaugh in Atlanta, maybe, with the San Francisco 49ers back in, in Atlanta, and then John Harbaugh went into New England with Joe Flacco and beat the New England Patriots in the AFC title game.
That doesn't happen often.
It does not.
Playoff loss at Gillette.
Yep. All right. So there we go. Those are our picks. You want to share thoughts? 713-572-4610. Shoot us a text. All due respect, stupid people doing stupid things. Rich, you got a story for all due respect?
Locked and loaded.
Excellent. All right, so we'll do that next. We're live at Little Woodrow's in the Heights, Studewood and White Oaks. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord with you, Sports Radio 610.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.